Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today our special guest is Mr. John Quirk. And Mr. Quirk has certainly been associated with intelligence organizations for many years. He's retired now. Works full-time tracking down deposits in banks. Large sums of money which have mysteriously disappeared into the banking system, and the owners are trying to reclaim it. But today we're going to be talking about really what's going on in the Near East, the Middle East. Of course, most of you are aware of the fact that somebody circulated a story, oh, the United States is, or Israel are going to attack Iran on the 6th of August, April, and here it is the 6th of April, and it hasn't happened yet. So I'd like to get John's thoughts on that. So many of the things we see on the Internet are there just to confuse us, to get us upset, to get us worried and tense, and of course, the really important things you're probably not going to see there. So anyway, John, thank you so very much for being with us.
Good afternoon, Stan. It's great to be with you.
Why don't you just give us your take on what's going on, first of all, as far as the Israel? Do you think that there's going to be an attack on Israel soon? What about Iran? Do you think that the United States will be at war with Iran before too long?
Well, I think the United States will be at war with Iran before too long. I don't think it's going to happen today, but if you look at the schedule, more or less, the cutoff date for both the Israel and the United States, and this is also in their foreign policy departments, is something like August 22nd. And that date is significant because according to some of the mullahs and the leadership of Iran, that's the doomsday theory where the end of the world is going to take place. This is what the Iranians are saying, at least some of the people in the Mahdi sect. And what they believe is that the scenario will be that they must attack Israel. And if you look at logistics now, we can work backwards from August 22nd. Iran has completely supplied Hezbollah through Syria with thousands and thousands of rockets that could hit Israel. They're completely resupplied. There's Iranian military officers on the ground, Syrian officers, many Iranian intelligence officers, and the Israelis have beefed up and the Syrians have beefed up. So that's one of the backward dates, okay? The forward date for the United States is how do you develop your complete forces in the region? And we are now what I would call probably at full strength there. And what that means is not only full strength in the Gulf and the surrounding bases, we have many, many bases in the area, but our logistical bases are strengthened in Bulgaria, Romania, our Air Force bases in Diego Garcia, Kuwait, other areas where B-52 and F-22 squadrons are based are at full strength. And we've beefed up troops in Iraq. There's two significant things that have happened lately. Hundreds of medical hospital, both ships and logistical bases have been set up in Europe in the area, anticipating casualties. And many, many new Apache helicopters have been shipped over to Iraq in anticipation of a possible Iranian invasion.
Now, you think Iran might actually invade Iraq and then endanger our forces?
Yes, I think that
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with John Quirk.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent GCN Health News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 GCN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to GCN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply set aside for GCN listeners, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. That's www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
Black Mercury purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Mercury purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Mercury elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a 2-pack for only $99 or a 4-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
And here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly our guest is John Quirk, as we were talking about the coming attack on Iran, and certainly the concern that the Iranians might actually move some of their troops into Iraq after that attack. And so they're making preparations, increasing the number of hospital facilities, not only in Iraq but in Europe, to take care of an increasing number of American casualties. Well, hasn't our administration thought of the implications of that, John? Because certainly if we started suffering large numbers of casualties, wouldn't this turn people even more against the war?
Well, I think it might, but I think the administration and certainly some support from Europe and lobbying from Israel has a different goal in mind. The goal is really to stop the Iranian government and their designs as a regional nuclear power. And there's a lot of negatives. We might not be able to take out all of the nuclear research facilities. It might unite the people in the country more against the United States. But I think what is happening, because of the pressure that Iran is putting on Israel through Hezbollah, the pressure that Iran is putting on against Israel in the region, because they're very close to having about 30 atomic bombs, I think the decision has been made in the Bush administration with some support from Europe and full support from Israel that there basically is no alternative. We have to stop Iran now before they get nuclear weapons and possibly give it to a terrorist group or attack Israel.
Well, now, of course, as we look at and see what's going on over there, and certainly the implications of this are rather frightening, but what about these missiles? You say they're more, that they're being given to Hezbollah and Hamas today, much more sophisticated than before. Where are those being built? Are those Russian missiles that are being given to Iran or sold to Iran that Iran then is giving to Hezbollah and Hamas? I can't imagine Iran can't even build their own, gasoline refining factory. I can't imagine them making sophisticated targetable missiles.
Well, the missiles that they have, they're called the Shabbats, and they go from, it's a range, Shabbat 1, which goes 210 miles, I guess, to about Shabbat 5, which is 3,400 miles. Yes, they're designed, the design is Iranian, but the parts and the technology is a combination of Russian, Chinese, and North Korean, all of U.S. adversaries. And the Russians have beefed up those missiles as well as installed many anti-aircraft and SAM missiles around all of the nuclear sites. Especially the Russians have soldiers and technicians near Arak, Bushehr, Isfahan, Sagan, Natanz, and Tehran, which are the main places where, just some of the places where these missiles are. The missiles that are in Syria that Hezbollah controls are shorter-range missiles that are hybrids. They're part Iranian, part Russian. And the Hezbollah cadres have many, many more missiles than they did last summer when they were launching against Israel. Israel reports that they now have enough missiles to even attack Tel Aviv. So, yes, the Russians have helped them. The Russians have helped the Iranians tremendously over the last few years.
And not only
in the missiles, but the in Bushehr, the Russians built a light water reactor plant. And, they say it's for producing electricity, but it also probably today has enough plutonium for 30 atomic bombs.
Well, I thought that it hadn't been fueled yet, that the Russians were holding back on the fuel. Has it been fueled? Is it up actually and producing electricity?
Well, they don't know. They said this was the last report. Back in September of 2006, they said that it should be up and running. We believe it is up and running, but our intelligence is not all that great in that area. Even though we collect intelligence from submarines, which is near the plant, and from aerial satellites. So no one really knows. This is a big problem. We get bits and pieces on all the various nuclear sites, but it seems like we collect about 90%, but we don't have the final answer. It's the same at Iraq, where Iran opened a heavy water production plant to make, secretly, we believe, to provide plutonium for bombs. And that is running, and then it shuts down, and then it runs, and it shuts down. So let me just say this. In all of the 456 plants, there's activity. The site of uranium mining up in the north, they've already got 5,000 to 10,000 tons of uranium way up north in a place called Natanz. They're developing secretly uranium enrichment facilities, and most of it's underground. We couldn't even wipe it out with cruiser Tomahawk missiles. In Tehran, in the suburbs where there's lots of civilian population, there's electric companies that are used as fronts and legitimate electric companies. There's also a whole industrial group with Russian help that developed their Iranian ballistic and cruise missiles, and they've got tremendous numbers of Koreans, Chinese, and Russians at what's called the Tehran Nuclear Research Center in Tehran. So we know one thing. There's tremendous amounts of activity, and the human intelligence from both the United States and Israel and Europe has not produced the final smoking gun.
All right, fine. So, and of course, then what about Israel? Because certainly Israel, you know, if they fire off 10,000 missiles from Hezbollah and Hamas, I mean, Israel could certainly be badly damaged. They could take out Tel Aviv. They could take out Haifa. They could really destroy the industrial structure of Israel. Israel can't allow that to happen. So,
no, and the Iranians are very, you know, they're very tough people. They're very aggressive. They have a large army, a very effective intelligence service. They have tremendous security as a police state. They actually believe that they're winning the war against us with their Shia brothers who we ironically support in Iraq. They believe that Israel eventually will be destroyed. They believe Hezbollah is as strong as ever. They feel very, very arrogant and cocky, if you will, especially using the propaganda that's happened lately with Mrs. Pelosi going to Syria. And with the recent release of the British soldiers, and they've also sent a message. I believe we had a former FBI agent out of the Miami field office here who's disappeared. Some people believe that he was murdered, that he was on an intelligence mission. And so the Iranians feel very, very confident. They feel their intelligence service is second to none. You know, it was trained by the Russians. They think they have enough missiles, and they may already have nuclear weapons, and we don't know. And this is the disadvantage that democracies have. You see, we're going through the machinations of UN resolutions, of working with the International Atomic Energy Commission. We are doing all that, and yet President Bush is, I believe, pretty wise in what he's doing because he's built up so many American forces in the Gulf area. So. It's almost like the beginning of forces in World War II, except the United States was kind of caught napping at Pearl Harbor. Now we're building up and the Iranians are building up. And both sides have a plan in the war. The Iranians have a plan to possibly attack our troops in Iraq. They have a plan to attack Israel. They believe that they can damage Israel, overthrow Israel, or completely wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And the Iranians, I believe, have very sophisticated intelligence networks in the United States, Canada, and Europe. So they feel very, very confident of defending themselves. And they also believe that the United States, to a certain extent, may back down. Because they think that it's not a question of whether the United States will strike or not strike. It'll be how effective the strike will be. So this is what this is what the catch 22 is. This is the conundrum, if you will, of where the United States and Europe, and actually it'll affect the whole world for a long time, whatever happens. Now the Iranians have an opportunity. They could back down. They could give up their nuclear research, and they could give up their nuclear development plans for weapons. Now, they say they have no plans to develop weapons. That is just a lie. Even our worst intelligence, our poorest intelligence in the world, our oldest intelligence, indicates that everything they're doing is trying to develop nuclear weapons. So they've lied before. This is the type of regime that lies. This is the type of regime that thinks it has certain allies with the president of Venezuela, with Korea, with even maybe China in the background, with certainly Russia. I don't think they even care whether they have other allies as far as countries in the Arab world, but they believe that the Islamic religion per se in many countries will support them against the United States.
And there may be reason to believe that. Certainly the King of Saudi Arabia has come out within the last week and talked about America's illegal occupation of Iraq. It sounds to me like the Muslims, there's going to be a realignment over there, and maybe even the Shia, the Sunnis will get together, you know, at least temporarily, against what they could perceive as the common enemy, and that would be the United States. And maybe, in fact, we're moving rapidly towards this class of civilizations. When we get back, John, I want to ask you about how susceptible and how our fleet would be to an attack. Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that this.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
And that there's certainly some military exercises have suggested that some of these little Iranian patrol boats with some of their sophisticated torpedoes or whatever they have could really have a devastating effect on our carriers. Is there any truth to that?
Well, it's true. You know, what's happened recently, the Pentagon is putting some things out U.S. submarines and ships that are in the Gulf could launch cruise missiles and Tomahawk missiles. But what they forget is that most of the warheads are much too small to take out reinforced concrete that the Iranians have put around. There's 456 major nuclear research sites, and what the Pentagon calls 1,500 aim points. Okay. And what's interesting is that if you talk about our total arsenal, and let's just review it, stealth bombers, fighters, B-1s, B-52s, airplanes, and Navy, most of the bombing would come from heavy bombers like B-1, our B-2, B-52s. They fly from Missouri, Guam, Diego Garcia, and even points in Europe, okay? So the Iranians can't get to them, okay? The Tomahawk and cruise missiles, they're launched from ships and subs in the Gulf. That's right. And they can only hit what's called, I think it's called fixed air defense and radar installations. They would launch first, probably pull back out of the Gulf except for the subs, and let the bombers come in and bomb. So the U.S. is actually reducing the threat. At one time we had something they estimated 5 carrier groups, not task forces, 5 carrier groups. Now there's only 2 major carrier task forces there, the Stennis and the Eisenhower. And their firepower is awesome. But yes, there would be probably casualties, and the Navy is ready for that. I think as a prelude, the way the war would be run is something like this. The cruise and Tomahawk missiles would take out the radar installation sites and possibly the Russian SAM sites, so our B-52s wouldn't be shot down. And then the Navy, and they've done it before, would take out most of the Iranian Navy. The Iranian Navy came out in the previous war and challenged the U.S. Navy, and the Navy sunk a couple destroyers and patrol boats and airplanes like in a matter of minutes. So it would be pretty risky for the Iranians to do that. See, the Iranians, in their Shia mentality, their Machiavellian mentality, they think a little different than, you know, Western war planners. This is how the Iranians think, okay? They think that if we attack them, they will push Hezbollah to attack Israel, and that's to draw Israel into the war, and then they'll rally not only public support at home, which they would, but Islamic support. That's what they need. They need the Islamic world, what they call the Islamic world, on their side. Now, you made a comment about the Saudis. I think what the Saudis were really saying is, I don't think people interpret it fully. I think what they were really saying is that, listen, United States, you better do something about the whole region, i.e., take Iran out. The Saudis have been lobbying, along with the Jordanians, Turks, Egyptians, even the Libyans, that they do not want a nuclear Iran. Even though they're Muslim, Iranians, they're not Arabs. So I think the Saudis were putting pressure on us, and I think it was also for consumption at home, because a lot of terrorism comes out of Saudi Arabia. These madras schools and these Wahhabi sects are very anti-American, and they could threaten the regime of the Saudi government. So, it was a little slap in the face, but I think it's also lobbying for the United States to stop the trouble in Iraq and to do something about Iran.
All right. So how badly do you think that they might hurt us? Could it be just sort of, a little annoyance, or do you think they could do some serious harm?
I think unlike the Iraq War, which was over in 21 days, and we had few casualties during those 21 days, I think the Iranians will hurt us. I think they will. They could attack our troops in Iraq and inflict casualties. I think that they will.
Hold that thought right there, John. Hold that thought right, please.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
How are you doing today? Well, I ask because if you have health challenges, then reading our free e-booklet about the most amazing discovery of our time is crucial. The booklet is about an amazing fruit from Southeast Asia they call mangosteen. It's a centuries-old medicinal fruit whose time has come, and it has amassed 40 years of published research. We have information and testimonials from all over the world about the health potential of this amazing fruit. The powerful botanical has contributed to the well-being of millions of people the world over with health concerns just like yours. You can have this 22-page e-booklet absolutely free. We'll also offer you a website with links to actual testimonials and product information. Could this fruit help you in your quest for total health? Find out why mangosteen is known as the queen of all fruits and why it's fast becoming the best-selling wellness product ever brought to the market. Your health is in your hands. Do something about it today. Call 800-658-0597. Again, that's 800-658-0597.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in the U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Fruit and Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
This is Elizabeth Border. News alert. Twice a month, you can now get the Divided Kingdom's brand new newsletter. Concise, hard-hitting, the first issue discusses two vital questions. War in Iran? A coming one-world church? In the first issue is included a pungent discussion of NWO numerology. For a free sample copy of the Divided Kingdom dossier, write to Post Office Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. A yearly subscription is only $50 for a newsletter that comes not once, but twice every month. Get the spiritual support you need right now for your free sample copy to P.O. Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Once again, for your free copy of the Divided Kingdom Dossier newsletter, write to P.O. Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609.
Our guest is Mr. John Quirk, and Mr. Quirk has been many, many years with the intelligence agencies and certainly has many connections in intelligence at this time. Before we go on, would you like to get your website out if people or anyway would like to get in touch with you?
I think it's easier, Stan. It's all right. I'll give you my email.
All right, fine.
It's irgglobal@aol.com. irgglobal@aol.com, and I answer all my emails.
And usually very, very promptly. Now, one of the things is, of course, you know, there's not an awful lot of support here in the United States for expanding the war over there. I mean, most people would like to get our troops out of Iraq and out of Afghanistan, and I believe this is why the Republicans lost control of the House and the Senate, was because of this war. What do you think is going to be the implications if the Bush administration, in defiance of our duly elected representatives, in defiance of the wishes of the majority of the American people, proceeds with this war?
Well, I think that there's a short-term effect and there's a long-term effect, and I think the Bush administration is looking at the long-term effect. I know from my friends that are both neocons and conservatives and liberals, they, experts in foreign policy and military, they basically say, if we don't do something now and the Democrats are elected, the Democrats may tend to pull us out, appease the situation, and the only the only result will be the strengthening of jihadists in the area. And it'll be worse than in 5 to 6 years. Then we might have to fight several countries with nuclear weapons who have the ability to deploy, and so on and so forth. Then there's other economic reasons, which I think the administration doesn't talk about, but it's all about oil, access to oil, and Iran is a gateway to oil in Central Asia. It has oil itself. The whole issue, I don't think Hirsch mentioned it in his article, but if there were attacks on our military in the area, on our ships, the Persian Gulf would be probably turned into a parking lot. The Iranians already have plans to plant mines and launch dozens of armed boats into this bottleneck, which would choke off the shipping lanes. It would cause a tremendous disruption of oil tanker traffic. It would cause all kinds of problems. We might have a $100 barrel of oil, and so on and so forth. And that's why the Navy recently put all kinds of minesweepers in the area. So I think that there's also a challenge to Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. Iranians could attack them, attack their pipelines, and also choke off supply and even drive up prices even more. But I think the United States believes that that's probably going to be a lesser threat than giving the Iranians nuclear weapons and their deployment. So you can go back in history and find many similar types of examples. And as I said, the Iranians can avoid this if they give up their nuclear research facilities.
Chris, the other thing that really bothers me is the financing of this. You know, we're having to borrow $2 or $3 billion every day. We can't, we can't pay our bills. We're totally dependent upon other countries, you know, to buy our bonds, to buy our treasury bills, you know, to keep us from going bankrupt. What are the financial implications? Has anybody, ever wondered if it's possible to spend ourselves into prosperity?
Well, I think some of the neocons, there's about five different groups that have different opinions about what's happening. They feel that a short war, 2 to 3 week war, might raise oil prices, might affect the economy, might even drive the United States economy into a recession. More and more people are talking about recession anyway. But again, I think the long-term view is then the United States would be able to have complete control of the oil in Central Asia with a downsized Iranian regime. It would guarantee Israel's security, and it would open up the shipping lanes to oil from where we get oil now. I mean, Azerbaijan, we get more oil from Azerbaijan every day. We would get more oil from Saudi Arabia. We're continuing to get oil, lots of oil from Kuwait. So even if the shipping lanes were blocked, the consequences, this is what some of the policymakers are saying, the consequences would be that the long-term effects would actually strengthen the economy of the United States because we are so gluttonous in our use of oil.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you get oil, gasoline up to $8 or $10 a gallon, why, I'm sure the American people will start rationing the gasoline on their own. Well, then, what are the implications as far as Venezuela is concerned? Because there seems to be an alliance between Venezuela, which I think is about our fourth major source of oil today, between Venezuela and Iran. If we were to attack Iran, what would Venezuela do?
Well, I mean, Chavez, he talks, he talks a good game, but you also have to ask the question, what it would do to him? We pay on time. We're the only people, we get about 15 to 16% of our oil from Venezuela, but we always pay on time. The Chinese are buying oil, and they're not so fast on paying, so it could affect his economy. What I think it would probably do, it's like two ships passing in the night. Chavez is trying to accelerate his form. He's not, you call him a Marxist or a communist. He's really an America hater. But, he's threatening to close the borders. He's threatening to take over the hospitals, to nationalize everything. He's doing several crazy things. He put a prohibition on alcohol during the holidays. I mean, that's not going to go well down with the chavistas that support him. But he would be very silly to cut our oil off. And if he did, I think it would only be a temporary stopgap, because he realizes that revenue that we pay him in billions of dollars would undermine his economy and his eventual efforts to build up his own military and spread his populism or his communism through Latin America. So would he really fulfill what he's telling the Iranians? Who knows? The bigger threat from Venezuela is that there are terrorist groups there. There's Iranians, there's Hezbollah, there's Al-Qaeda, there's a lot of these new no-named groups that he's invited in, terrorist fighters, Muslim fighters that are training there. We don't know why they're there. They're using it apparently as a training base against the United States. Is it for them to get weapons of mass destruction, organize an army, conduct conventional terrorism? Who knows, you know. So the United States Southern Command, which is based just south of me, is ready for any kind of event with Venezuela.
Well, of course, you talk about the terrorists in training in Venezuela. Wouldn't you think, faced with that the Bush administration would be doing everything possible to secure our southern border, which they've consistently refused to do since September 11th? In other words, we should have sealed that border so nothing could even get by, and yet every effort to secure our borders, to keep the terrorists out, has been blocked by the Bush administration. I never understood that.
Well, this is the big gripe I have against the Bush administration. I'm a supporter of Bush and the policies in Afghanistan, in Iraq. I'm a supporter of what we're doing in terms of foreign policy with the United Nations. I like the way he's built up the military. I know we have problems in Iraq, but I believe, I'm an optimist, I believe we'll eventually win. What I don't like about what the Bush administration has done, it's like we're disengaging from Latin America. We're ignoring the threats from Chavez, Bolivia, Ortega. We're ignoring the threats of securing our borders. And part of this is, you know, also this whole concept of the NAFTA superhighway that the President Paul Martin of Canada, the President of Mexico, and Mr. Bush have signed to try to build this superhighway from, Mexico. You can go on the internet and type in NAFTA superhighway, and they have maps, and they have, it's all overt. I mean, but they kept it pretty quiet, and it's partially funded. But the idea is that they're going to build a highway to unload Chinese containers in Mexico. It's going to go up through Denton, Texas, Dallas, Laredo, Dallas, Denton. The hub is going to be in Kansas City, and it'll open up all trade between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. A lot of other conservatives feel we're giving up our sovereignty. It's an idea of the elitists and the globalists. But if President Bush knows that, why bother shutting off the borders? Because you're going to open them anyway with the NAFTA superhighway. Why build a fence? Why stop all the tunnels? So the other thing, I think the legitimate concern, is that we are running out of money. We just don't have enough money to build fences, put different kinds of electronic security. We don't have enough troops to put on the border. We don't have enough money to even hire another 200 or 400 Border Patrol people that was budgeted. So I think a matter of it is money. And I think it's also the pressure from Mexico, that the Mexican government has tremendous influence with the Bush administration, and they need a safety valve to let a certain number of Mexicans leave their country to work in the United States. And people in the Bush administration and the Labor Department don't even squawk anymore, because U.S. unemployment is very low. So they kind of say, well, who's going to clean the kitchens and do the gardens and work construction if we don't have a labor pool to do that? While ignoring the national security threat, which is the possibility of terrorists coming in from Latin America through our southern border, as you mentioned.
Well, I think we're entering some very, very difficult times, and you know, I think that the American people, I think especially it's your remark that, you know, we're running out of money. We're running out of money, we're having to borrow money, and now having to borrow money to keep going, not having enough money to build a fence or to hire the adequate guards on the border, now we're thinking of expanding the war in the Middle East, and well, this whole thing with Israel is scary. What about the rest of the world? What do you think that, certainly, Europe is going to do? And what is the rest of the Muslim world going to do if we attack Iran? Will they look upon this as certainly a return of the Crusaders, as the class of civilizations? Could we possibly antagonize the whole Islamic world by doing this?
I think we probably will. I think it's almost a fait accompli. And we're being distracted from really addressing security and economic concerns with our real adversary, China and Russia. Russia's coming back against us. The Chinese are moving ahead. They may falter, but they're probably going to keep moving ahead. And the thing about Islam, the Islamic governments that the fundamentalists want, they really don't deliver anything to their people. They will spend that money on weapons of mass destruction to damage us. And I think the real danger to the United States is if we let them do that, and there are attacks in the United States, one major nuclear attack will eliminate us as a superpower. And there's a lot of people that want that. Europe, maybe some parties in Europe want it. Russia certainly would like it. China would certainly like it. And unfortunately, we are the targets of Islamic terrorists, not the Chinese, not really the Russians, except for Chechnya. And almost what the Europeans are doing, although they may be changing, they've basically pandered to the Islamics in Europe. They have such large populations in their countries. They're very afraid of their own economies. They're afraid of going to war. Even England now, this tells you something. England covertly paid 25 million euros to get their 14 or 15 sailors back, and probably have given them other concessions. And you can't do that. You can't appease them. You know, Churchill said, you can count on the United States to do the right thing after they failed a number of times, okay, to try to do the right thing. And the United States seems like we're standing alone. It's like the Alamo. We're the only ones that stand up to terrorists. We're the only ones willing to go to war. And what you have to me in the Democratic Party, like Mr. Reid and Hillary Clinton and Obama and Pelosi, they're defeatists. You can't just even label them liberals or whatever. They're defeatists. And if you are a defeatist in the eyes of a Muslim, especially a Shia, and the Muslims now believe that they're winning, there'll be a waterfall effect against the United States, and we'd become isolationist. We'd pull back. We'd be afraid. We'd be afraid of spending billions of dollars. So I think over the next few months is going to be the real test of the United States. I mean, it's reminiscent of when we were really down after Pearl Harbor. We had the 40th smallest army, and we came back like a roaring lion with making guns and weapons and supplying England and defending them and invading in Normandy and defeating the Nazis and Japanese. And this is the whole theory of warfare that the Pentagon is going through. We cannot win limited wars. You can't win a Korea, a Vietnam. You can't win in a counterinsurgency. The only way you win is having a war of total annihilation. And that's what we may have to head to against the Islamic terrorists. I mean, you don't hear much about Nazis or Japanese militarists anymore because we completely annihilated them. So I'm not sure we can win in counterinsurgencies in the Muslim world. In fact, what's happening in Iraq, we have stimulated more terrorists. There's more people being trained in Latin America, Asia, Malaysia, Indonesia, the Philippines. They're being trained all in Saudi Arabia. Okay, they're building small covert armies of insurgents. The United States, if we do not defeat Iran now, and if we do not stabilize Iraq in the next year or 2 years, we will be on the short end. We will be losing. We're not losing now, but we could lose if we don't do the right thing over the next few months. So I don't think we can be defeatist. I think we have to go forward, stop the Iranians, don't invade them, don't destroy their country, but stop them from developing nuclear weapons.
All right, well, I guess it's been John Quirk, and he certainly has connections with many, many key people in government, certainly from all parts of the political spectrum. I always enjoy hearing what John has to say, and I hope you do as well out there in the listening audience. John, thank you very much for being willing to come with us. Are you taking off? Are you heading over to the Middle East now?
Well, yes, I'm going. I leave next week, and I'll be dealing with people in the Iranian opposition and following events. And we're opening up a new center in Paris called the Center for the Study of Intelligence, and we're going to be teaching intelligence with some of my colleagues from.
Well, please call me as soon as you get back. Bye bye.
Okay, all the best. Thank you.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteef spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of...
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The dollar has lost over 50% of its value in the last 3 years, and it is still falling, while gold has gone up over 60% in the last 3 years. As the dollar continues to fall, you have a well-thought-out plan to preserve the wealth you've worked hard all your life to accumulate? Historically, gold and silver have been real financial security for those who understand the abuses and dangers of paper currencies. Have you considered buying gold and silver, but you don't know how to go about doing it? The gold coin industry has a real problem. It abounds with scam artists. I have written a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. So if you'd like to educate yourself before you buy, give me a call, Cal Grunwald, at my new number, 414-234-8267, and I will send you my paper on the scams in the coin industry at no charge. That's 414-234-8267.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Building their anti-aircraft missiles, their defense, all of the sophisticated weapons that they have that they're going to use to take out our ships over there are Russian designed. But then where is Russia getting its technology and financing? Well, we're told, of course, Russia has a lot of money on its own now. It's really the world's largest oil producer and natural gas producer. But who's drilling all the wells there? And the United States certainly is intimately involved. We're talking about American oil companies have been working to build up Russia's capacity ever since the fall of the Berlin Wall. And if you'd like the report, because my March newsletter is going to be how we finance Russia all during the Vietnam War, so that they could finance the North Vietnamese, who could finance the Viet Cong, who could kill our boys in South Korea. And, of course, that's really what's going on today. We continue financing and finding one or another reason to give money to Russia or technology to Russia or transfer, you know, our sophisticated war-making capacity to Russia. And then, of course, they give it to the Iranians, who give it to Hezbollah and Hamas, that are going to use it against Israel. And to prevent Israel from being destroyed, we're going to have to attack Iran. And we don't have the money to do it. And you have to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. That's why you need to get my talk, Forbidden Secret. And it's available on DVD, and we recommend you get it. It comes with a syllabus, and it's called Immigration Invasion. But it's very soon going to be renamed, and we're working on that. You can get it, as we've had it in the past, the syllabus that goes with Forbidden Secret. And then you'll want to get my February newsletter. It's posted on the Internet. Because behind everything that's going on are powerful spiritual forces. And unless you understand that, nothing makes sense. If you look at this thing from a purely strategic point of view, from a financial point of view, from a military point of view, it doesn't make sense. So if it doesn't make sense, there has to be another explanation. You need to get my February newsletter, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a free copy, because you should be subscribing to my newsletter, and you certainly should be joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us, because we've got an entirely different approach to this than anybody else that I know, because they're not giving you what the other side says. And who is the other side? The people who are in touch with those from the other dimension. And there really is a spiritual dimension out there, and there are people in contact with it, and that's what my February newsletter tells you. And if you'd like to get a copy, go up on the Internet and pull it down, or give us a call on 1-800-544-8927. When will the attack on Iran come? I don't know, but you better be prepared fiscally, financially, and spiritually for the difficult times that lie ahead. If you have not yet laid in your water filters and your barrels and your pumps and all of those things, and you have a food supply on hand, do it if you'd like. Well, we'd be glad to send you a free copy of our emergency food catalog or emergency health catalog. Start thinking of what you should be doing to prepare for the difficult times that lie ahead. And then, of course, financially, you probably would want to get our financial tsunami talk, and the syllabus goes with that. But then, from the spiritual point of view, we have two great books, 90 Minutes in Heaven by Don Piper, and, of course, Corey Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place. What are you going to do when it seems that there's no place to go, and no place to hide, and no place to turn? Well, call us at 1-800-544-8927. We'll be back in just a moment for the next hour of Radio Liberty.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed...
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guest. And for this second hour of our program today, we have Mr. Stephen Hyatt, who is the editor of a book called A Game as Old as Empire. A Game as Old as Empire. And basically, it is a sequel to the book which we've distributed before, and it was written by Mr. John Perkins. And it was called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Now, if you haven't read the book, that's a very important book. We do have a four-tape set of my interviews with Mr. Perkins, which they're available from Radio Liberty. But the basic theme, Mr. Perkins, was affiliated with the NSA, the super-secret organization, and then was sent out by various companies with the idea of traveling throughout the world, convincing independent sovereign nations that, oh, you need to borrow money. You need to borrow money so you can develop your infrastructure, and, oh boy, everything's going to be fine for the people. And the whole idea was to come up with a lot of reports, to bribe people, to do everything you could to get the countries of the world to go head over heel into debt, and by so doing to basically enslave their people with a massive debt that could never be carried out. They were economic hitmen. And if you ran into a world ruler who really didn't want to go along with the agenda, who already couldn't be bribed or made to compromise or made to take away and enslave his own people, then, of course, you got him either out of office or you sent the jackals in, the assassins, so they killed him. Now, this book really went over very well. It had a tremendous impact in America, especially among the liberals in the country, and because it was a very believable a scenario, and I believe it's exactly what's happened in the past. And then, of course, Mr. Perkins was always challenged. Well, how come nobody else ever had, you see a lot of people are involved, but nobody else has ever written about it. And so what Mr. Hyatt and Mr. Perkins did was find other people who'd been involved in this process, and they, of course, have written this second book, A Game as Old as Empire. Steve, thank you very much for being with us again.
Good evening, Dr. Stan.
So you pick up the story there. Certainly, this is an important message you're trying to get out to the American people, isn't it?
Yes, it is. What we're doing is, starting with John Perkins' story and Confessions of an Economic Hitman, looking at what's changed since he was active, when he told his personal story, what he saw happening in the 1970s and early 1980s. We're seeing, for example, some things that have changed, and not for the better. For example, what we see is that corruption has become even more central to the world economy, to its daily workings, than it was when John Perkins was an economic hitman in the 1970s, which was not exactly an era of sweetness and light, but compared with that, what we're seeing is corruption becoming a daily part of the way business is done for many of the multinationals and the elite that controls them.
And there really is an elite that controls the world, isn't there?
That's right. What we're looking at, we talked about what Jeff Foe, another writer, calls the Party of Davos. That is the people who meet at Davos, Switzerland, in the World Economic Council.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a minute.
All right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Steve Hyatt, who, in association with John Perkins, who had written a book called Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and we have interviewed Mr. Perkins in the past. We have a four-tape set of the of my interviews with him. We still carry his book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. But Mr. Perkins was often asked on the radio, on television, but how come nobody else ever writes about this corporate elite that work in concert with the National Security Agency and the CIA and certainly the banking interest, the World Bank? How come nobody else has ever talked about how we are exploiting the people of the third world, and half the world lives on about $2 a day? Half the world is impoverished, and of course we here in America live very, very well, but a lot of it is off the sweat and suffering of people throughout the world. And the whole idea of the game and the way it's played is you get countries into debt that they can never pay off, and then all the money that they take in from their taxation, instead of going to help the people, is used to pay interest on their debt. And so you pick up the story, Steve, because you've actually talked to people who have worked just as Mr. Perkins did as economic hitmen.
Well, that's right. We talked, for example, excuse me, early on I ran into a guy named John Christensen, who had been an offshore banker in the Isle of Jersey, one of Britain's Channel Islands. It's a tax haven set up to facilitate secret accounts, basically to hide money, whether that money comes from drug cartels, the Russian mafia, wealthy elites, whether they're in the first world or in the third world, to hide their money. John Christensen was from Jersey. He was an economist. He decided to go back. He found himself getting involved with an offshore bank, offshore being in a term of art. Switzerland, for this purpose, is offshore, but many of these places are small islands, many of them former British colonies. That's typically a key aspect of them, connected with major banks in London and New York and Tokyo. And he got involved with this. As John Perkins describes in his book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, it's a very seductive lifestyle. You get a lot of money. You get a lot of respect. You get a lot of people fawning over you. You have a lot of authority.
Well, of course, you're exploiting an awful lot of people, and you're ensuring they're going to be suffering, and they'll never have a chance to get out of the bondage. We'll be right back here in a moment. Well, this is Arthur Stan, and our guest this afternoon, Mr. Stephen Hyatt, who has edited the book, which is a sequel to Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and this one is called A Game as Old as Empire. And it simply tells how the corporatocracy, which is the name that John Perkins gave to this interlock between the NSA and the CIA and major corporations and the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, and certainly how they all work together, and of course the banking interests, to enslave the people in third world countries. And they don't enslave them themselves. They just get the countries into such debt they can never get out of debt, and they bribe the politicians, and they get them to, you know, take the money and steal the money that we're giving to these third world countries, and it doesn't help the people there. The people are burdened with the debt, and then we have a claim on those countries forever. Could you pick up the story there, Stephen?
We were talking about another man with a career parallel to that of John Perkins, a guy named John Christensen, an offshore banker from the Isle of Jersey. And what he found is that the offshore banking system is used to basically pump wealth out of the third world into the coffers of first world banks and elites. And it's done in a number of different ways. One example he gives is the dictator of Nigeria in the late 1990s, a guy named Sani Abacha, a general who'd taken power there. General Abacha had a standing order with the Central Bank of Nigeria to wire transfer to the good general's Swiss bank account $15 million every day. That's every single day. He stole $15 million from the people of Nigeria. The money was largely coming in from Nigeria's oil exports. He eventually stole $2 or $3 billion by this ingenious method. you can say, this guy's very evil. He's taking billions of dollars that should have gone for economic development, education, and so on, from the people of Nigeria, who have very little to show for all the oil wealth that has been pumped out of their country. But we can turn that around. What about the Swiss bankers on the receiving end of these billions of dollars? Were they saying, the Nigerian people are so generous, look at the way they pay their president? No, they were saying, here's some more stolen money. And of course, as you can well imagine, the fees for laundering stolen money, drug money, mafia money, tax evasion money are fairly stiff. It's a very nice business to be in. And when the general died and his successors tried to get the money back, they were only partly successful. They didn't get all of it back. The fees that had gone to pay for handling this laundered money were never repaid. And no Swiss banker, not one, was ever even charged, let alone convicted, in a massive case, an obvious case of money laundering.
And, of course, the third world debt is just phenomenal. And I think recently, of course, the United States magnanimously offered to forgive debt. What was it, about 1% of the debt that was owed, something like that?
It's around 1% or thereabouts. Jim Henry, one of our contributors, an economist and investigator on this issue, estimates that the poorest countries will get about $1 billion a year in debt relief for about the next 15 years. This was very proudly announced by the G8 a couple of years ago in a meeting in Glen Eagle, Scotland. They were very proud of themselves, and it was trumpeted around the world in the major media, you know, what has been achieved here. But we compare that with the $3.7 trillion owed by third world countries to the $15 or $16 billion in debt relief they're actually getting. Then we have to say that this is a very paltry sum indeed, and a great deal more needs to be done in terms of debt relief, because he also estimates that of that amount, $3.7 trillion, at least $1 trillion was simply stolen. And never mind the stuff that was misused, but actually just simply stolen.
And of course, the corporatocracy knew it was being stolen, but they weren't interested in that. They were interested in loading debt upon debt upon debt. And for the skeptic out there who's hearing this program, let me tell you that the elite corporatocracy is frightened to death you're going to listen to this message and believe it. So they have a web page up, the State Department web page, and you can find it by simply Googling in State Department misinformation. State Department misinformation. You Google that in, takes you to their page, and they tell you about all these lies that are out there, half-truths and how ridiculous they are. I mean, the idea that there's some people who think that depleted uranium is harmful. There's some people out there who think that maybe the American people haven't been told the truth about 9/11. But one of the real evils is a book put out by a man named John Perkins, saying that he was recruited into this secret movement by some woman, and then they justify it. They say, we can show you how absurd this is because it's the United States that suggested we actually excuse third world debt. I mean, it shows you how unfounded Mr. Perkins' claims are. But they never tell you we're forgiving about 1% of the third world debt of about $3 trillion. And those people out there are poorer today than they were 20 years ago. We're talking about all throughout the world. It's little wonder that many of these people really resent America. And I think the American people should really be realize that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And we live well and never, of course, even bother to stop and think about the suffering these policies brought about by our military and our intelligence agencies and our banks and our corporations are inflicting on people throughout the world. Would that be a fair statement, Steve?
Well, we have to, look at that and say, first off, that Americans, I think rank-and-file Americans, have been largely very generous to helping people around the world. And they have often believed that the sums that go for foreign aid and so forth are actually being used on behalf of people around the world who are poor. So that's one thing. I think that people have not, when people have had a chance to express themselves, they've wanted to do the right thing. It's been the people in charge who have taken that mandate and perverted it. So that's one point. And the other point I'd make is this, that we can sit in the United States and say, you know, this is very bad. We can look at what's been accomplished in terms of combating world poverty in, you know, this amazingly productive world economic system. We know that in 1980, half of the world's people lived on less than $2 a day, $2 a day or less. And today, in 2007, half of the world's people live on $2 a day or less. And that's not even taking inflation into account.
And, of course, you don't, $2 doesn't buy as much today as
that's
it did
exactly right.
10 years ago.
But we can also look around and say, in comparison with 1980, that the American people, the vast majority of us, are caught up in the same race to the bottom of being thrown to compete against each other, seeing our living standards erode. The people in the Philippines or in Kenya or Ghana find themselves in the same kind of situation. We're joining the race to the bottom, and it's elites who have largely withdrawn from any kind of obligation to contribute to the communities and the countries of which they find, which they draw their wealth and their power originally from. They've kind of abstracted themselves and tend to want to try to rule through international organizations behind the scenes, the World Trade Organization, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, NAFTA, and so on. Groups that are run by people who are not elected, whose decisions are by design outside the view of the media. Certainly the public doesn't know largely what these groups do. And we find this time and time again where these treaties will be set up. To take NAFTA as an example, by design, if there's a trade dispute in NAFTA, that goes not to a public tribunal. It goes to, in fact, a secret tribunal. That is, you do not know who will be hearing the case or on what basis it will be decided, or even fully what the decision is. That doesn't sound exactly like what, Mr. Jefferson and Mr. Madison and the rest of the Founding Fathers had in mind in 1787 when they drafted the Constitution and then added the Bill of Rights. That's not the kind of citizenship, the kind of vision of a democratic republic that Americans are accustomed to. But it is the kind of system that our elites have written into what is now literally has the status of constitutional procedure because it was part of a treaty, the NAFTA treaty that was passed by the U.S. Senate. So we find this going on, again, largely behind the backs of the American people.
And I think people have to understand this whole idea of globalism. Take down the tariffs so we can help people throughout the world and give them jobs, raise their living standards. This was put together by the corporatocracy or by the corporate elite as a means of enslaving the world. Everybody in the world will be certainly enslaved. Right now they're doing everything they can to transfer America's jobs, wealth, and industries to other nations so we can raise our living standards to those of the Mexican peasant. And if you don't think this is happening, we saw in Circuit City this last week, laid off 3,000 employees who are making $11 an hour, and they can get their job back. They'll work for $8 an hour. If not, there are lots more people out there. How many of you could live for $8 an hour? Well, maybe you get a second job, maybe a third job. The whole idea is to lower our living standards here in America. Well, Steve, of course, you interviewed a number of people who are involved in this. It's not just
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, and it'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
They killed, here, a massive, great big country. They killed about half the people in the country there, of course, to subdue the people so that they would, of course, allow the Belgians to rape the wealth of the country, and exactly what they did.
That's right. They are estimated to have killed 8 million people. This is such a scandal in the early part of the 20th century that the country was taken away from the king and run by the Belgian state with not a whole lot of improvement. They didn't kill nearly as many people, but they did nothing to develop the in terms of education, social development, development. Every investment was simply to exploit the country to drain its wealth into Belgium. When the country finally became independent in 1960, There were a handful of college graduates. There was no social political development. It was very unstable. There was a nationalist figure, a guy named Patrice Lumumba, who looked around and said, you know, our wealth should go to develop our own country. That was not a welcome message.
And he was killed by the
and
American
he was killed by
CIA.
The U.S. CIA and the Belgians.
And anybody who liked to check that. I mean, this was brought out of the the Church Committee investigation.
That's right.
The CIA. They killed this Congolese patriot. What was his crime? Oh, he must have been a communist or something. No, he wanted to help his people, and he was killed by your tax money. But this is it's a constant pattern. But if you doubt that, you can Google in Patrice Lumumba killed in the Congo CIA, and you'll find out that this eventually came out of the congressional and Senate hearings.
That's right. And they put in a guy named General Mobutu, who was in power for 30 years, and is estimated to have stolen over $10 billion. He was lent money by the World Bank, for example, excuse me, and for projects, and he skimmed off most of the money, he and his cronies. They were tipped off to this, the World Bank was. They actually sent a German investigator, a banker, to the country. He shortly afterwards reports back to them, don't lend this guy any more money, he's stealing it all. But they continue to send billions to the Congo, which largely ended up in Swiss and other offshore bank accounts, stolen. Largely, you know, Mobutu was a very handy guy during the Cold War to keep his neighbors in line. He was a reliable guy from the point of view of U.S. foreign policy, and he kept the flow of wealth coming back to the First World. The Congolese people still owe the money that he stole. Those loans were taken out on behalf of the Republic of Zaire, it was then called. That money is still owed. They're still paying on it, or trying to, even though it was stolen, and the people who lent it to them, to Zaire, knew that it was being stolen. They were told. Mobutu dies. Country very unstable because there's been no democracy, no chance for political development. Who's going to rule? Nobody has any idea who has any support, no political parties, programs. Country falls into chaos. Zaire, or Congo, as it was then renamed, has something called coltan. It's a rare earth, columbium tantalite. It's essential in the production of semiconductors. So 85% of the world's coltan comes from Congo. Multinationals need, you know, no matter what happens in Congo, we've got to get our coltan. So what do they do? A number of them take a very simple and effective way out. What they do is they hire militias, warlords, gangs. They finance them. They send them arms. They send them material. They hire their own armies in some cases into eastern Congo to occupy the country and to keep coltan being mined and smuggled out of the country through Rwanda and Uganda into Europe and North America. Coltan is mined in a very primitive way by kind of like the way in which gold was mined during the California Gold Rush. So what they would do is round up thousands of peasants in Congo and work them as slaves in the mines. Under the watchful eye of the armed militia, armed by European and American multinational corporations.
But of course, you're never going to read about this in the New York Times or the Washington Post. You're never going to hear about this on ABC, CBS, and NBC, because they're all controlled by these five mega corporations, control 90 to 95% of the American corporations. Of 95% of the American media. It's covered in a book called The New Media Monopoly, The New Media Monopoly by Ben Badakian, available from Radio Liberty. It's an important book for you to read. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Steve Hyatt. The book, which he is the editor of, in which he writes the opening part and his coordinates, is called A Game as Old as Empire. And of course, it's really all about the world empire, which has been established by the corporatocracy, which works, of course, in concert with the intelligence agencies and the CIA and the great corporations, the world banks, and of course, if you get in their way, they simply kill you. And this is what was brought out in Mr. John Perkins' first book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. And if you don't think that there are many, many world leaders who have been killed by these people, and they say, well, we don't kill people. No, they don't kill people. They hire other people to kill people. Go right ahead with this. I mean, you actually have a list there of so many of the world leaders who have simply been assassinated, or their plane goes down. It's amazing how often the planes of prominent people crash, isn't it?
Well, that's right. You have John Perkins. We talked about this. A number of people. We had Jaime Roldos of Ecuador, Trios in Panama. Their planes somehow maintenance bad. I don't know. They blew up, went down shortly after those leaders cease to be as cooperative as the U.S. might like them to be. Funny that coincidence. But we have many other leaders, Salvador Allende perhaps being the best known, overthrown in a coup which we know was helpfully financed in part by the United States. Denied at the time, now boasted about as an achievement by people like Henry Kissinger. We have perhaps equally famous the coup in 1965. In Indonesia, which resulted in the deaths of some 500,000 people.
You're talking about now the overthrow of Suharto.
The overthrow of Sukarno by
right.
Suharto. General Suharto, who became one of the most corrupt men on the planet, and that's including Mobutu, who those guys, you know, in a league of their own almost. In putting together this book, I actually talked for some time with an engineer who was in charge of building the power plants that John Perkins forecast the electricity load for, the need for an increased electricity grid in Indonesia back in the early 1970s. This guy was brought in a little later on to build those power plants.
Hold those thoughts. We'll be right back here with Steve Hyatt. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Steve Hyatt, who's the editor of the book, A Game as Old as Empire. It's really must reading if you want to know how the world really works. It tells you all about foreign aid. It's mean by which you take money from poor people in a rich country to give to very rich people in a poor country. Buy their support, and if their support's not for sale, then you have them assassinated. That's how the game is played. A game as old as empire. Well, before we go on, Steve, would you like to get your website out there? Now, we do carry your book. We think it's an important book, and we have it available. And we do hope many of you out there listening on to want to get this. And if you'd like to get my interviews with Steve Hyatt, or you'd like to get my previous interviews with John Perkins, we have these available. But this is a very important book. So do you have a website or something people can go to?
We do. It's called www.gameasoldasempire.com. And that's all one word.
How is the book moving on in the market today?
It's doing well, actually. We're just, I believe the publisher is just ordering a second printing. And I'm told that it's moving along quite well in the bookstores.
Well, you haven't really had it out that long, so you're getting a second printing.
That's
Why,
right.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. I think we're meeting quite a lot of interest because, as you know, John Perkins' book had a wide readership, and people are interested to find out more about Empire, about what's going on now, following up on the story that he first presented.
And, of course, as I mentioned during the first half of the program, if you don't believe it's an important book, just go and Google in on your computer, State Department misinformation. And they'll take you to their website, and they'll tell you about all these terrible things that are being put out that just aren't true, and you know that they're not true, because the State Department is going to assure you they're not true. And one of the most vilest of all things is a man named John Perkins and his book, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Were you aware that the State Department had part of their section on misinformation dedicated to John Perkins?
Yeah, I'd seen that, and I'd gone to that and read it because I was interested to see what they would say. It's amusing because you look at it and they say, well, you know, his story couldn't be true. He talks about trying to lure countries into taking on more debt than they can really handle, and thus gaining control over their politics and their economies. And they say, but we're for debt relief. And then we find, if you start digging a little further, as we have in this book, that the debt relief being advocated by President Bush and other G8 leaders is, you know, about $1 billion a year for the next 15 years, dribbling out a little at a time, when the developing world owes $3.7 trillion. So this is, really a pittance. There's been an interesting story that's come out in the last few weeks. There's a group of financiers who are called vulture capitalists, working out of places like New York and London. And what they do is buy up third world debt that's no longer being serviced. The case was involved with Zambia. They had bought back in the 70s some tractors from Romania. These guys buy up the Romanian-owned debt. It's for a few million dollars. The nominal amount of the debt was something like originally $20 million, something like that. These guys then go to court in London, in this case, and say, we want the full debt as denominated in the original loan, and we want all the debt service, we want all the interest and penalties. We want $55 million for an investment of $2 or $3 million. People have pointed out that President Bush, if he were really an advocate of debt relief for the third world, could invoke U.S. law and say, this is not in the interest of the foreign policy of the United States to do this, and side with Zambia and have this debt canceled. He has not done so. People have written, people have been calling for this. They've done nothing. It would be easy to do. The amounts involved are small. It's a struggling country. Its per capita income has actually fallen by a third since 1980. It will, if it has to pay off these debt, it will be forced to do so. It will have to cut its education budget. It will have to cut health budgets to scrape up money to do this. So the debt relief that it might get will be swallowed up by these guys. And if they really want to show that they're for third world debt relief, it would be an easy gesture to make. They haven't even done that.
I think that's a very apropos name for these people. They're called vulture capitalists.
Exactly so.
And of course, there are a number of different people who in one way or another have been associated with this whole program of the economic hitmen. And they would be people, of course, who would be, you know, working the banking side of it, or the corporate side of it, or getting people into debt. And of course, they work in concert with the World Bank. And I'll never forget, it was right after Vietnam when Robert McNamara became president of the World Bank. And he was president of the World Bank for 10 years, and when he left the World Bank, his right-hand man wrote an article that was published in Foreign Affairs magazine. I remember it very well. And he was commenting, you know, here Robert McNamara has been head of the World Bank for 10 years, lending all this money to Africa to help these people, and you know, can you believe it? They're worse off today than before he lent them all the money. Of course he was worse off. I mean, he didn't go there to help the people. He went there to get them head over heels into debt so they would never, never have hope of course, getting out of debt. And this is, in other words, of imperialism, but, of course, we call it economic slavery, not real slavery. Because when it's real slavery, then you have to look after the slaves. This way you just collect the debt from them, and you control them, but you don't have to provide for them for their health and education and welfare.
Yeah, the World Bank has pushed a economic model of development on third world countries, and especially starting when McNamara took over. He was keen, and we talk about this in the book, the case of the Philippines is a great example. Marcos was a dictator at the time. He was helped into power and kept there by the United States. We were involved, of course, in the Vietnam War at the time. We were terrified that the Philippines would follow suit. There was a lot of unrest there about conditions there. We loaned Marcos billions of dollars, much of which he and Imelda stole. There's a case, in fact, one of our investigators was talking about to me the other day, where Marcos set up a rural development bank. He got several hundred billion dollars from the World Bank to do this. It was supposed to, the idea was you would have a bank to lend money to farmers and to apply more advanced technology in rural areas, increase production and so forth. Great idea. And if you talk to people, they say this is a great use for World Bank money. Well, what actually happened was this. The development bank that received the loans on behalf of the Philippine government was only a shell. There was no rural development program. It did not finance a single project. All the money was stolen. It all went into Marcos's offshore bank accounts in Switzerland and other places, every dollar of it, leaving the Philippine people on behalf of whom he borrowed this money, holding the bag. They still owe that money, those hundreds of millions of dollars, to this particular project. This was so bad that, in this case, World Bank staffers actually leaked hundreds of secret documents from inside the World Bank to outsiders in the Philippines and elsewhere, exposing this, because even by World Bank standards, this was terrible. So an example of a country there which was lured to open its economy to the world, drop its trade barriers, its tariffs, borrow billions of dollars to set up export processing zones in the hopes that multinationals would come in, bring industry and so forth. It never really happened. The multinationals came, then they saw better prospects elsewhere, they left. Meanwhile, without tariffs, the Philippines' own industries were devastated. At the same time, we were telling them to open their economy to the world, to liberalize, to open to world trade. The United States and the European Union raised tariffs on 30-some-odd kinds of products that the Philippines actually produced so that they couldn't export their way out of poverty, even were they thinking about doing so. So a classic example of the kinds of development policies that have been prescribed to third world countries that haven't actually worked and that don't work. By contrast, we can take a look at the countries that have succeeded in the last generation, Korea, Taiwan, China, Japan, and these are countries that have largely determined the course of their own economic development. They've used tariffs, they've used controls on financial transactions, they've guided their currencies. They have, in fact, followed the model that the United States itself actually used to develop in the 19th century. We had some of the highest tariff barriers in the entire world when we were developing. And as we developed an economy, industry, financial power, we were able to discard those barriers because we were now able to compete with anyone. That's what's happening with these so-called Asian tigers. They're coming out of the world. They've developed behind these barriers, and they're now able to compete on fairly equal terms in the world. That's not going to be the case with a country like Ghana or Zambia, the Philippines. But these countries are being told to duke it out in terms of world trade with Japan and Germany and the United States. And you can see what a one-sided contest that is going to be.
And of course, not only that, but of course, these countries, like, say, Japan, they'll subsidize their exports, or China will subsidize their exports, or the United States will subsidize their exports, and then they talk about free trade, and they
We have the case we talk about in the book of Ghana, West African country. You would think, you know, and they've been preached, you know, they should be developing their agriculture, they can feed their people. What happened actually was this. They were told by the IMF and the World Bank, you must end your tariff barriers, open up to the world economy. Only by participation in the world economy can you develop. And you had, they had no choice. They were in debt. The IMF and World Bank controlled their budgets. They did that. What happened was this. The European Union, which massively subsidizes its agriculture, producers flooded the country with frozen chicken parts, subsidized by the European Union, which undercut even locally produced chickens in a, produced by local farmers in a very poor country, thus driving them out of business. So that was what opening to the world economy succeeded in doing for Ghana.
Well, because that's what we did with Mexico. We told them, you have to do away with your tariffs on agriculture, your tariffs on corn. So, you know, well, because, I mean, they have four people down there, but they could grow corn. So, but they had to open it to American markets. And what did we do? We not only highly mechanized, but we were subsidizing our corn growers. So they weren't competing with, of course, the people growing corn in the United States. They were competing with the United States, was subsidizing the corn here. It flooded Mexico and it put the corn, the farmers there, the poor farmers, were already poor, and now they become impoverished. And these are in large part of the people coming across the border. Why did they come across the border? Because they were starving to death in Mexico. Why were they starving to death in Mexico? Because, of course, we got the government to have open trade. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And people don't understand that eventually that's going to happen here, because what goes around comes around, and when we have free and open trade, and they stop subsidizing our farmers, and they've got to then really compete with the people down in Mexico and the people in South America and China, why they're going to raise the living standards of the American farmer to that of the Mexican peasant.
Yeah, we can look at this two ways, one of which is currently what we're seeing, which is the race to the bottom. I was reading an interview with about this with journalist was citing a Denver contractor building a housing subdivision outside of Denver, I believe, and he was saying, I can't find U.S. citizens to build. I've got to use undocumented workers, and then you kind of get the idea of what's really going on here, and you say, well, wait a minute. We can't find U.S. citizens to work construction. I mean, you know, I got relatives who work construction. That's nuts. Well, what the guy is really saying is this. I can't find U.S. citizens who will work for less than minimum wage with no benefits. That's what he's saying. Now, I don't think we should be blaming the Mexicans and others who are coming to take those jobs, because, as you were just saying, you know, you don't wake up in Oaxaca or Michoacán someday and say, I'm going to go 2,000 miles to work in a country whose language I don't know, customs I don't understand particularly, far from my family and my community. You don't wake up and say that unless you absolutely have to make a living, to put some food on the table. That's what's going on. And so we find ourselves being forced into a ruinous competition, the race to the bottom. There's another way we can look at it, and the way we should be looking at it in terms of our globalization, the relations across the globe with other countries, and that is we should think about how can we bring the bottom up? How can we help Mexicans, people in other countries, improve their living standards, become really better customers of ours, and really help them improve their own living standards and help them develop themselves, which is, in fact, the model that we followed in the United States. We developed our country. We largely used our own market and built that up, selling to ourselves and building our own economy that way.
and I agree with you totally. Unfortunately, that's not the plan. The plan really is, in my estimation, because I've read the plan, and that is to limit the population of the world and, of course, to impoverish our people. Because, after all, when you have people that are making a lot of money, they use too many of the natural resources. We begin, of course, to run out of natural resources, and we're not going to be able to have sustainable development. So if we can impoverish the people and lower the living standards across the board, won't that be a lot better? We'll drive the price of gasoline up. We won't have to ration it. The people will ration it when gasoline is $8, $10, $12 a gallon. They'll do away with using electricity when it costs three or four times what it does now. They've got a plan. They're carrying it out. And the average American has no idea what's going on. Certainly, if you don't believe it, you need to get this book, A Game as Old as Empire. A very, very important book. Available from Radio Liberty, 1-800-544-8927, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Steve, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
What I would say is...
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
The dollar has lost over 50% of its value in the last 3 years, and it is still falling, while gold has gone up over 60% in the last 3 years. As the dollar continues to fall, you have a well-thought-out plan to preserve the wealth you have worked hard all your life to accumulate? Historically, gold and silver have been real financial security for those who understand the abuses and dangers of paper currencies. Have you considered buying gold and silver, but you don't know how to go about doing it? The gold coin industry has a real problem. It abounds with scam artists. I have written a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. So if you'd like to educate yourself before you buy, give me a call, Cal Grunwald, at my new number, 414-234-8267, and I will send you my paper on the scams in the coin industry at no charge. That's 414-234-8267.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
And we have our four-tape set, Economic Hitman, my interviews with John Perkins. And then, of course, we carry this book, A Game as Old as Empire, and we have two interviews with Stephen Hyatt. I hope we'll be able to put together a four-tape set on this subject. You must understand there is a master plan. It is not to raise the living standards up throughout the world. It's a race to the bottom. Why would anybody want to do that? Why would anybody want to impoverish the already poor people throughout the world? Why? Because they're people who have a different agenda, who dream a different dream. If you've not yet seen my video on sustainable development, if you've not seen our 4-tape set or my syllabus, and we simply quote from their writings, the Global Biodiversity Assessment, where they talk about the necessity of lowering standards for people all throughout the world. You know, if we're not going to eliminate the populations, then we're going to have to lower the living standards. Why? Because there are people, there's an elite, and of course they want lots of things for themselves, the Al Gore's of this world with his 10,000 square foot home, who uses more energy in 1 month than most people do in a whole year, but he wants you to conserve energy. And Prince Charles, you know, over in England, because he's one of the authors of this whole sustainable situation, and he rides his bicycle wherever he goes. Now, to demonstrate the sacrifices he's willing to make for sustainable development, of course his chauffeur is driving the car right behind him. But you have to understand, these people give hypocrisy a bad name. Understand there is a master plan, and you really need, of course, to get my sustainable development syllabus, 4-tape set or video, and, of course, they're available, along with the 2 books, the Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and A Game as Old as Empire, by calling 1-800-544-8927. But then, how do you make any sense out of this? Well, we need to, of course, get our information on the coming financial tsunami, which is going to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people. There is a video, there's a 4-tape set, and then there's a syllabus. You can get them. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get my latest talk, which puts this all into perspective. It's called Forbidden Secret. It's available on DVD, and we'll soon have it available on video. But Forbidden Secret, it's all packaged and ready to go. I think it's a very, very all-encompassing talk, and it will explain to you literally everything that's going on in the world today. Because if you look at things rationally, you look at what we're doing over the Middle East, if you realize we're going to war with Iran, and yet we're having to borrow several, probably between $3 and $3.5 billion every single day because we can't meet our bills, and yet we're going to expand the war. Why are we going to do that? And think of the implications, especially if it mobilizes the entire Islamic world against us, and we get into a war with the whole Islamic world, and we stand alone, and maybe Israel be there, but I mean, certainly they may very well face annihilation in the coming months as Russia provides the weapons for Iran, that provides the weapons for Hamas and for Hezbollah that want to attack Iran. But then don't feel bad, because who's funding Russia? Why, you are, ladies and gentlemen. That's, of course, the subject of my March newsletter and my April newsletter. We're doing everything we can to build up the people who are building up the Iranians, who are building up Hamas and Hezbollah, who want to destroy Israel. It doesn't make any sense. Unless, of course, you know the forbidden secret. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Please start making your preparations. If you need any help, give us a call. And, of course, if you'd like a free newsletter, give us a call, and then pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty. And again, our number, 1-800-544-8927, until Monday. May the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News from the Information Radio Network. I'm John Russell. A British sailor says the purported confessions that he and other members of a British Navy crew made were a stunt for Iranian propaganda. Lieutenant Felix Karman had been shown on Iranian television apologizing for straying into Iranian waters. At a news conference today, he retracted that apology, saying he wanted to make it clear that irrespective of what was said in the past, we were inside Iraqi waters. Vice President Cheney has repeated his assertions of al-Qaeda links to Saddam Hussein's Iraq, which is in stark contrast to data from the Pentagon. With more here.